Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
Well, good morning. This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. You may remember that I spoke about the fact that faith without works is dead, just as dead as a body is without breath. So said James. James also said that demons, meaning that Satan and his demons, believe and tremble. And I asked the question, are they saved? Now, James said that they believe. Now, are they saved just because they believe? It seems to be a popular teaching today that all you have to do to be saved is to believe. But I've been telling you that there's much more to salvation. There's much more to being saved than just believing. There are works. There's something that you have to do. I don't think that anyone would think that Satan and his demons are saved, or that they are even in the process of being saved. So I want to continue this theme today, because your salvation could depend on this. Your salvation could be at stake. You could be deceived, my friends, and if you are, you should want to know. You should want to check in about the truth and see if you are deceived. Have you been taught that all you have to do to be saved is to believe? You may want to look into that teaching, and you should look into that teaching, because your salvation can depend on what you believe and the way that you live your life. As a matter of fact, your salvation will depend on what you believe and the way that you live your life. Notice what Peter said, inspired by Christ here in Acts 3 and verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Now he says, repent. Now what does repent mean? And what do you repent of? He says, repent. Well, we repent of sin. And what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. So says your Bible. 1 John 3:4. Sin is the transgression of the law. So we repent of breaking the law. And if we repent, then of necessity, that means that we must begin to live by it. It says, repent, therefore, and be converted. Now, what does converted mean? Well, my friends, it means to be changed. It means to be strengthened. And in this case, it means to be strengthened morally and spiritually, is what it's speaking of. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So repentance and conversion is a lifelong process. It is a daily process, my friends. It's not a one-time giving your heart to the Lord. It's not a one-time saying, I believe. It's not a one-time saying that I accept Christ. Certainly not. Verse 20, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. Him you shall hear. Speaking of that prophet, which is Jesus Christ, says, him you shall hear in all things that he says to you. Now, that means to obey, to hear, to listen, and to obey. Verse 23, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, indeed. It's telling us here that there's more works to salvation than just believing. It says, if you don't hear that prophet, if you don't live by what that prophet taught, then you will be destroyed from among your people. Doesn't sound like salvation to me, does it you? Unless you listen, unless you obey, it says you are going to be destroyed. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with Abraham, our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's speaking of Christ. Christ coming through the lineage of Abraham, and all seed be blessed, that is, spiritually. To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Yes, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. And that's what salvation is all about, is turning you, turning me, turning any and everyone else away from all of our iniquities. God knows that the world is deceived today, and He certainly is and will give those that are deceived, that is, if you aren't deliberately deceived, if you aren't deliberately rejecting God and His way, there is a plan of salvation, and He's going to see to it that everyone has an opportunity to know that plan, to live that plan. The Bible makes that very plain in many places. Notice what Paul had to say about this in Romans 6, beginning in verse 12. Romans 6 and verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust. In other words, Paul was speaking to the church at Rome here, the church, those that knew the truth, those that were learning the truth, those that were continually repenting, continually being converted, my friends, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness is the commandments. David said in Psalms 119, verse 172, all your commandments are righteous. So that's what Paul is saying here for us to do. Present our bodies, our members of our bodies, as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Notice this. Let's read this again. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Uh-oh. Then if we aren't under law, does that mean that we aren't to keep the law? If we're under grace, is that all there is to salvation? Is that all there is to being saved? What does this mean? For sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, if sin has dominion over you, sin is ruling you. You are living that way. For you are not under law, but under grace. Now, what does that mean? You are not under law, but under grace. Well, it means, my friends, that we are not under the penalty of the law, which is the death penalty. The wages of sin is death, and sin is the breaking of God's law. Very plain, it's very simple. We are under grace. We have been forgiven. That is, if you have truly repented and accepted Christ as your Savior, and you are giving yourself over to Christ, you are in the process of being saved. You are in the process of being converted if you are doing this. And as I said, to be saved, to be converted, to have your sins forgiven is a lifelong process. Now, I know that there is the initial conversion. I know there is the initial repentance. But that isn't all that there is to it. And that's what I want to get across to you, that it is a way of life. Verse 14, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Notice what Paul says in verses 1 and verse 2 of the same chapter here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, shall you keep sinning so that you can just have more grace poured out on you and for you? Can you keep sinning? Should you go on and keep sinning and continue to nail the spikes into Christ, crucify Christ all over again? Verse 2, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Yes, indeed. How can you go ahead and live your life to sin once you have turned your life over to Christ? It's impossible. I mean, you can't do it. Well, you can do it. But if you do, you cut yourself off from Christ and from the grace that He shed for you. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, some translation says servants to obey, you are that one servants or that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Sin leads to death. Sin leads to the second death, my friend, that permanent death, that death of hell fire, from which there will never be a resurrection. And that's what Christ paid the penalty for us for, so that we wouldn't have to die that second death, But he says, of obedience leading to righteousness. Yes, obedience does lead to righteousness. Now, I'm not advocating that you earn salvation. Not at all. We know that it is a free gift. As a matter of fact, it brings that out in this very chapter here that we will get to just in a minute. But I am saying that God will not give salvation, and God makes this very plain, God will not give salvation to anyone that doesn't live his way, anyone that he can't rule. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. He says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, how were you set free from sins, my friend? How were you set free from sins? Well, through and by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. In other words, you began to obey God, and you become a servant of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more unlawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. It's a way of life, my friends. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. How true that was. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Yes, the end of sin is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, being set free from sin, once you repent, once you have been baptized, once you have received God's Holy Spirit, and you began to walk in newness of life, you began to be on the road of salvation, on the road of continuous conversion. You have been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, that is, obeying God, living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that means the commandments, that means the Sabbath as well, my friends. You have your fruits to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Yes, the wages of sin is death. That second death, from which, as I said, you will never be resurrected. Yes, God's word tells us very plainly that he will not give eternal life to anyone that's not willing and struggling to obey him. God makes it very plain that faith without works is dead. Now, you may continue to take the easy road of deception. That is, just believing. That's all I have to do to be saved, is just believe. You may continue to think that. That may be the road that you want to take. But that road leads nowhere, my friends. That road, unless repented of sometime in your lifetime, is the road that leads to death. If you would like to know more about this important subject, then we invite you to call toll-free for our free literature at 1-800-611-8080. And just ask for this free booklet, What Do You Mean Salvation? And also ask for this free booklet, Does God Have a Plan for All Mankind? Just dial 1-800-611-8080. Well, thanks for listening. This is Pete Hornbuckle.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship, located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.